This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about pregnancy discrimination and maternity parental rights. I am here today with barrister Miss Katie Wood from Maternity in Action, who are based in London. Katie is an expert barrister advising on maternity pay and maternity rights during pregnancy and maternity leave, and she leads a team of legal advisors who advise on pregnancy and maternity discrimination. Katie is also a writer for a number of publications, and she is the co-author of a leading handbook on this subject called Maternity and Parental Rights at Work. Thank you for joining us, Katie.
Thank you. Good morning.
Right. So, frequently asked questions. This is a really, really big subject, I think, for lots of our listeners. There isn't actually, I don't think, readily available, friendly, user-friendly, as I call it, information out there for parents, pregnant ladies. So I think our questions really can go on forever because there's lots.
They can.
So the first question I think that we could discuss, Katie, based on what people want to know and what they've asked us to ask, is what do we mean by pregnancy discrimination? What is pregnancy discrimination and what law can protect me against pregnancy discrimination?
Good question. So the Equality Act 2010 protects a woman against discrimination on the grounds of pregnancy and maternity leave. And what it says is that any unfavourable treatment because of the pregnancy or because of absence on maternity leave can be discriminatory. And that sort of unfavourable treatment could be things like reducing your hours, reducing your pay.
Because you're not at work, because you're, say, you're unwell during your pregnancy, or you've got a few more hospital appointments or doctor's appointments or midwife appointments than you planned, and then your employer says, well, you're actually spending a lot of time being pregnant and dealing with it. We want to reduce your hours and therefore your pay reduces equally. That's what we're saying here.
Yes, that's the type of cause we get at Maternity Action. I mean, pregnant women are entitled to a reasonable amount of paid time off for their antenatal care.
Is there a statutory...
That is a statutory right, yes. You have to be an employee, so it doesn't apply to, for instance, agency workers, someone on a 0 hours contract. But all employees are entitled to a reasonable amount of paid time off for their antenatal care. And that's
during
what health and safety
during
grounds.
Yes. So what do we, when we say pregnancy discrimination, we're saying your employer, or it could be actually other members of staff, couldn't it, that are treating you in a way which is unfair, is hurtful, you feel it's upsetting?
Yes, if the behaviour is anything to do with your pregnancy, so you can show that it was because of the pregnancy, then the employer may be liable for pregnancy discrimination.
Right. Well, that's good that there are laws, absolutely, that to protect against pregnancy discrimination or any discrimination for that matter. So what is meant by statutory maternity leave and pay? What by law is the minimum, should we say? Because there's companies and private companies maybe perhaps that have their own rules on this. They'll say, oh, we'll pay up to X amount of weeks or days or etc. But what does the government say is the minimum that your employer should give you as time off? And let's try and look at during your pregnancy and then after the birth of your child as well, perhaps.
Yeah, so maternity leave and statutory maternity pay are actually two separate rights. So if we start with the leave, which is really the legal right to have time off from your job and return to the same job. So it's protecting your actual role. Again, this only applies to employees, so not agency workers or someone who's perhaps on a 0 hours contract. They're entitled to up to 52 weeks maternity leave. So that's to take up to a year off work.
After the baby is born?
Well, they can start the maternity leave any time from 11 weeks before the baby's due.
Right, that's quite key,
but
isn't it?
The thing you've got to bear in mind is that statutory maternity pay only lasts for 39 weeks. So that's 9 months out of the whole year.
Right. It's from the time you take your leave.
Your leave, that's right. So inevitably, most women don't want to start their leave, you know, 11 weeks before, because that's almost 3 months before your baby's due. You will have already used up 3 months of your maternity pay. You're only going to have 6 months of pay left after the birth. So, you know, I think these days many women actually try and work very close to the birth. But I would say it's probably more common to start maternity leave from
8 months, sort of.
Yeah, well, yes, sort of four weeks before the birth. And then they're left with a good chunk of paid leave after the birth. But, of course, statutory maternity pay, only an employee, any worker, so anyone who's not self-employed, may be able to qualify for statutory maternity pay. But there are certain qualifying conditions, so not everybody can meet those qualifying conditions. And as you mentioned in the beginning, lots of companies provide their own maternity leave and pay. So very important to check the contract and see if they offer something a little bit more generous than the statutory minimum and what the conditions are for that.
And is there a statutory minimum? Because we touched on that in the first question. For how much time you're allowed to take off for all your antenatal appointments? I mean, we're not looking at sickness and being unwell and being at home. That's actually sick leave, isn't it?
That's
regardless,
right.
I guess, of whether you're pregnant or not. But in terms of for your antenatal stuff, is there a statutory amount of time which your employer cannot bug you about if you have...
Unfortunately not. And this does cause, this lack of clarity does cause some problems, because the law likes to use the word reasonable. So you're entitled to a reasonable amount of time
and
off.
And one employer might say, well, 2 days is reasonable, and another employer might think that 2 weeks is a reasonable time.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the actual appointment. So it is, generally, we're only talking about a few hours in that day for the appointment, but it should include travelling and waiting time.
Yes.
It also, that applies to part-timers as well. And so some employers will say to a part-timer, well, if you only work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're asking me for time off on Tuesday afternoon. Why can't you have your appointment on Thursday?
Yes.
And of course, you know, most women will try and rearrange it if they can, but in many cases they don't have that option.
Flexibility with appointments. No, I get it. I've got two children myself, and I actually, because, you know, I've got my own businesses, I didn't have the opportunity of having any time off.
No,
and I didn't. I was very fortunate to not have any of these issues. However, a very, very close member of my family suffered, actually, pregnancy discrimination, and where she was in a fantastic job for 20 years before she was pregnant with her first child, it all went wrong as a result, because she was in an area of business which you can't do reduced hours. You can't just say, well, actually, I'm very, very sick. She had a lot of hospital stay during pregnancy, and I experienced it through her, in a way, because she's a close member of my family, and I know how distressing it was, and it was just a lot of pressure. And to be honest, I remember saying, you've got to get some advice, and we're going back about 10 years now, and she didn't know where to go to get the advice on this specific area of law. So it's fantastic that we're talking about maternity in action, and that the fact that they exist, and the fact that people like you exist to give this kind of advice. Okay, so in terms of statutory maternity leave, paternity leave with a P. So, is there, and what we mean by paternity leave is the father of the child, his right to have time off of work after the birth. I'm presuming, you know, is there a statutory paternity leave?
There is. So there is also statutory paternity leave and statutory paternity pay. And so again, it's the leave, it's the right to take the time off work, to have your job protected. It actually only lasts for 2 weeks. Statutory paternity pay is again available at the same rate as statutory maternity. Did I say statutory paternity pay?
Yes, that's paternity and maternity.
Yes. That's payable at the same rate as statutory maternity pay. And in fact, there's the same qualifying conditions to qualify for it. But again, I would say most new fathers-to-be need to look at their contracts because many employers will top up the statutory level to full pay.
I knew somebody who had 3 months paternity leave. That was what the company offered, and they, out of goodwill, I think, for their employer, because that's a long time, took the 3 months over a period of a year. So they split it up because they just thought, you know, they were in a very good position, a high-ranking position. They thought, if I take 3 months off in one go, my department's going to be on its knees. And that's quite... Would you say that's unusual?
That may have been shared parental leave, which is a new right, came in only about 3 years ago. And that allows mothers to cut short their leave and pay, because mothers have got a year of leave and 39 weeks of pay. Right. They can cut that short. So supposing they want to go back after 6 months, and they can now transfer that to the father or their partner to take a shared parental leave.
Even though they could possibly work for two separate employers,
yes.
Two different employers.
That's right.
That's very interesting, isn't it? And that came into play 3 years ago, you said?
Yeah, 2015.
Right.
That came into force.
Five now.
5 years
we're
already.
Moving on now, yes.
But unfortunately, take-up's very low, actually. It's very complex.
But are people even aware of that? I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of that,
yes,
to be fair.
That's
where
right.
is it publicised or advertised? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't see many employers going to their staff and saying, well, did you know your husband, who also is working probably for an employer who desperately needs their help, can take share your maternity leave? It's very interesting. Because when did paternity rights come in? When did this whole statutory paternity leave? Because I have to say, I've been working for many years now, and I only started hearing of it actually in the recent last decade, if that makes
sense.
There
is a lot more awareness now, definitely. I mean, maternity leave and pay has been around for a long time.
Long time, yes.
You know, going back to the 70s, if not earlier, there was some form of maternity allowance.
Yes. Paternity.
But paternity leave and pay was brought in 2002.
Right. So it's 18 years. It's a good old time.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's quite interesting because you get the sort of... Some men think, what do you mean paternity? You know, I'm not giving birth. I'm not the mother. The mother does that. I have known people that do speak like that. And then others jump on it and think, oh, that's brilliant. And they really engage in what's going on at home. And it works really well. I mean, yeah, no, very interesting stuff. So the next question, Katie, that our listeners have sent in as a question for us to ask is, can all women get statutory maternity leave and pay even if I'm not working? Would the government pay me directly? Now, I know you've mentioned, and we know that we're saying for full-time, not full-time, sorry, for employees only rather than agency workers or zero-hours contract workers. So would the government pay directly if somebody isn't working?
Well, it's very important for all employed women, so whether they are an agency worker, they're on a fixed-term contract, for instance, all employed women should check, first of all, with their employer whether they've qualified for statutory maternity pay. So they need to have been employed with the same employer or the same agency for the first 26 weeks of their pregnancy.
Right.
And if they've worked for the same employer and if their earnings are above a certain level, it's the lower earnings limit for paying national insurance contributions, then they will qualify for statutory maternity pay from their employer or from their agency. So this is all employed women. Very important to check that first. If they haven't met the qualifying conditions, supposing they changed jobs in the middle of their pregnancy,
yes,
or off sick, it happens very often. Supposing their earnings are too low, they're below their lower earnings limit.
Or they were made redundant, or they weren't at work in the first instance,
yes.
So they just, you know.
So if there is a reason why they can't qualify for the statutory maternity pay, or if they're self-employed, then those women can apply for maternity allowance from the Department for Work and Pensions.
Do you know, I never knew that.
No.
And I didn't. That's twice.
It's a very, very important safety net.
Wow.
And it really ensures that most women who are working or have worked until fairly recently are able to get some sort of maternity
leave. And which, self-employed. You know, there's lots of self-employed ladies out there, like myself. And that's a very key point.
It is. Yep. So they need to apply for maternity allowance from the Job Centre Plus. And it's paid at the same flat rate as statutory maternity pay, but unfortunately they don't get the higher rate for the first 6 weeks, which is the sort of normal average earnings rate.
Right.
But it at least gives some income over the maternity pay period. And it's paid for 39 weeks, same period as SMP as well.
And at what stage, though, if you're a self-employed lady or you're not in employment or you've switched employers and you haven't got that 26 consecutive weeks of work at the previous employer, so we're treating this question as someone who isn't currently working, for example, at what point do you need to go and make your application through the Job Centre Plus?
Yeah, good question. So it's you can't apply before the 26th week of your pregnancy.
Right.
But very important that you apply fairly soon after that.
Right.
Now, you can put the date on your application form of when you intend to start your maternity leave. So even though you're applying quite early, if you're not intending to stop work until 2 weeks before the birth, for instance...
Even as a self-employed person,
right. So many, many self-employed women want to carry on running their business much closer to the birth. And so that's fine. You put that on your form and that's the date from which your maternity allowance would start from.
And what would be the latest time you could apply? So say if there's ladies out there listening that didn't know this existed, they've just given birth and they're self-employed. Could they go and apply?
Definitely. It's not too late. There is a 3-month time limit.
So they after will, the birth, is it?
No, unfortunately, they will only backdate your claim for 3 months. So if you stopped work 11 weeks before the birth, that's when your maternity allowance period would automatically start. So if you leave it a long time after the birth, they're only going to backdate it for 3 months. So you could lose out. But as long as you're applying within 3 months from the date that you stopped work to have you start your maternity leave, you're going to be fine.
Right, that's very interesting.
But I would say get the claim in anyway, because it's paid for 39 weeks, so you're still going to get... hopefully, the majority of it.
And what's the latest they'll pay up to? So they will pay you for 39 weeks. And say you've applied, you've got a one-month-old baby at home, you're self-employed as an example, and you've just found out that you can apply. Will they pay you 39 weeks from that date? So will it then go forward from there?
No. Unfortunately, the latest it can start is the birth.
Right.
So if you worked up to the birth...
And you've done 4 weeks into the baby's life, then that would become 35 weeks of pay. Right, that's very interesting. Thank you. Okay. So we spoke about what is meant by paternity leave for fathers. Lots of people actually don't really know that that exists, which, you know, is interesting. We've spoken about the standard... or the statutory paternity time off for fathers, which we said was 2 weeks. So let's go on to the next question. So many women feel they've been forced out of their job during pregnancy or maternity leave. So the question is, what can I do if I feel that this is happening to me? I mean, we've got here this EHRC research says that 54,000 women a year leave their job because of their treatment during pregnancy and maternity leave. That's a big number, Kate.
It's
a very big number. And as I was saying to you earlier, I personally know someone to whom that happened to.
It is. It's shocking. It was research in 2015, and it found that many are treated unfairly because of asking for time off for their antenatal care, for instance, which we spoke about. Many find it very difficult to get their employer to make health and safety adjustments to protect their health and safety during pregnancy and feel forced to leave their job as a result of that. We also find, from our advice line, that many women are made redundant as soon as they announce their pregnancy or shortly into their maternity leave.
So I'd like to pick up on that point in a minute.
Yes.
If we don't run out of time.
Absolutely. So it's very important that women get advice if they feel they're being treated unfairly. They need to get advice about what their rights are, what the strength of their claim might be.
And where would be the first point of call for advice? Would it be a solicitor's office or a direct access barrister or something like Maternity in Action? Where would you say is a good place to start?
Definitely. So Maternity Action has an advice line. We advise Monday to Friday. We advise over 2,000 women a year. And I would say also other sources of advice, women can go to their local Citizens Advice Bureau. They may have employment law advisors, local law centre for free advice. Also, if they're in a member of a union, go to their union rep or the legal officer. And also, it's very important to check whether you've got legal expenses cover on
through
insurance.
Through your home insurance.
Yes.
Lots of home insurances have legal expenses cover, which will pay your legal fees prior to anything starting off,
yes.
Prior to any action, potentially on matters like this. And say you do feel that you're being discriminated against, or being pushed out of your job, or you've just been made redundant, and it's really blatant to you that it was a result of your pregnancy, call your insurer up, because other policies can have legal cover as well. We know we get it with our cars. I'm not sure whether that
home insurance
but home insurance is the one, isn't it?
Yes.
Really,
so it can often cover employment disputes.
Yes.
And also people can go to ACAS, the Government's Advisory and Conciliation Service, and it's very important not to delay, because
yes.
If a woman thinks she's being discriminated against because of her pregnancy or because of her maternity leave, she must contact ACAS within 3 months less 1 day.
So there's a time limit
there.
Very
strict time limit.
3 months less 1 day. That's
yes.
Very, very key, because
yes.
Time limitations in the law, and we've covered this on other podcasts in other areas of the law,
yeah.
Are absolutely key.
Yes.
They are
yeah.
Key. And I have had people say, well, why are there time limits? Well, there has to be a time limit, doesn't there?
Yeah.
So it's there has to be a point where you say, right, at this point, then no more. But that's a very, very important point. And I think, yes, absolutely, get advice. Even if you've got a hunch or just something's niggling, it's better to get the advice to see, well, where do I stand and what can I do, than sit there and fester over it. I mean, having a baby is such a wonderful time in any parent's mm-hmm. life. And, as I said, having experienced that, I can genuinely say that. And you are so sometimes up to your eyeballs in it.
Definitely.
Because it's life changes overnight.
Definitely.
As soon as they arrive, bless them. Maybe you can't make the time, but the internet is a great place to start. Maybe ACAS can have information on there, or Maternity in Action will have some basic information.
We have a lot of information. We have over 50 information sheets about every area of maternity and parental rights.
Which
and
is
we
great.
Get well over 1 million views a year of our information sheets
that's,
as well. So
that
every question we have ever been asked
that's a lot
is there
of
in our information
views.
Sheets.
Well, there you go. So if you don't have the time to pick up the phone because you just can't go hands-free so easily, if your baby is already
yeah.
born, if you're still, or then you could always read up on the information. So there are lots of ways. Okay. This is the last question, because we are running out of time, unfortunately. So the last question, Katie, is what about working during maternity leave if I feel that I can?
Yes, good question. So women can work for up to 10 days during their maternity leave without losing their maternity leave and pay. However, you can't insist on it. It's only if your employer agrees, and if your employer offers you working days during your maternity leave, you don't have to take them. So it's up to both of you to agree to it.
Let me just get something straight. If you say, I'm on maternity leave and I can work 2 days a week now, does that mean that your employer will pay you your salary plus you'll get your maternity pay?
Mm. Well, it's very important to agree with the employer what they're going to pay you.
Right.
And
so don't assume that if you go back to work, you'll get your statutory maternity pay or the maternity pay that has been agreed by your employer plus your standard salary. That's very key, I think, isn't it?
It's very key. And what you want to check is, are they paying my normal wage? And will it be on top of the statutory maternity pay, or will it be offset against it?
Yes.
Because they can offset it against the SMP.
They're allowed to do
that.
They
are allowed,
yes.
So agree with your employer. And as I say, you don't have to do keeping in touch days, but you can do, particularly towards the end of the maternity leave. You might want to go into work to start getting
breaking
back
yourself
into the, swing
into
of
the routine yeah. and yeah. yes, and all the office politics and all the gossip and everything else that comes with it. I get it. Well, Katie, that's all we've got time for today. And I tell you, I have got pages and pages of questions here. So I'm very much looking forward to doing a part two. I think that was incredibly informative as a part one. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you.
So don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you very much for listening.